All right, welcome to Faith Bible Church. I know it's kind of in a different way than you're normally used to. In fact, all of us, it's a different way than what we're used to, but I just want to welcome you to our church in this different way. Some of you are joining us through our website and joining us with video, and I trust that God is going to use this technology for His honor and glory that way. Some of you are joining us through a mailed out CD, a physical copy, that you have received, and I trust that that will also be a blessing as well. And so I would appreciate your prayers as we try to venture into areas in which we haven't really gone before. We've not done this, that God would bless and that He would use it so that we could all be encouraged. The things of the church are so important, preaching and teaching and fellowship, edification and prayer and evangelism. There's a lot of things that are so important to the church. Preaching and teaching is certainly one of those things, and hopefully this will be a blessing that way. So just be praying for that. But anyway, glad that you could join us, and I hope that this time this morning would be a blessing. Many of you, hopefully all of you, have received something either through email or through the physical mail, a mailing that went out, and hopefully you got the information just updating you on what our at least short-term plans are through this crisis, and hopefully that you're up to date. Please let us know if you have questions, concerns, if you're not getting the emails, if you're not getting the phone calls, if you're not getting things through the mail that are updating you, please let us know. And I want to put a disclaimer in there. If we missed you, please don't take it against us. We're trying our best to get everybody. I'm pretty confident we're going to miss somebody. So please let us know, or if you know somebody who is missing it, if you could let us know, we would greatly appreciate that. Email addresses. I know some of you, most of you have, if you have an email address, you've given us your email address. We're thankful for that. Some of you maybe are a little bit more protective of your email address. The more that we have to email, I think the easier it would be. If you would be willing to give us your email address for these purposes, we'll be careful with it, but it could be a blessing to you, and it'd certainly be a blessing to us. So if you know that we don't have your email address and wouldn't mind giving it out, call the office and let Carol know what that is, and we'll certainly put you on the mailing list so you can get more current updates. We are sending out, probably weekly, we'll be sending out our prayer sheet updates along with kind of a combined bulletin, which would give any announcements, go through prayer requests, any more updates, letting you know what's going on this next week or so. So there's a lot that can be done. We're emailing those things out. For those of you who do not have email, though, then we will be sending out physical copies of those things, whether it's through the mail or it could be somebody just dropping it off at your door and then leaving. So a variety of different ways we can communicate, but I hope that all these ways will be a blessing. Just you need to communicate with us, though, how we can best meet your needs. Let me know if there's any problems just in life, but also with your end of the technology. You can't hear things, or it's not coming clear, or maybe your CD wasn't right, or maybe you're not. Whatever the case, please let me know, so that we can know how to address it. If I don't know, then I can't address it. So we would like to be able to do that. So please let us know, call the office, call your deacon, see what we can do to help meet those needs. You know, during this time, more than ever, is a time that we need to be trying to communicate and reach out to each other as brothers and sisters. It makes it harder because we can't stop by your home right now and have fellowship that way. I think my recommendation would be that we try to do as little of that as possible, because I think we have to follow what our leaders have recommended to us. Some people have, you know, struggled with that, but I think what we've gone through already in 1 Peter, we understand that God's given us our authority and they have made suggestions. I think we want to follow with that. And so it's not going to be as easy. We can't stop by your house, but we can utilize other things. If you've got a phone, it'd be easy to pick that up and call somebody and just see how they're doing. Any communication right now, I think, is going to be important to our church body. So a phone call. Some of you use texting. a text throughout the week would be helpful to just catch up with people, see how they're doing. Maybe emails, emailing people, and same thing. Physical notes and letters, I think, could be helpful. It's a little bit slower, but certainly it can be utilized. Any way that you can communicate within the guidelines with what they are recommending, I think would be important to us. We don't know if this is going to be 2 weeks. We don't know if it's going to be 2 months. We don't know if it's going to be longer than that. And so I don't want us to miss out on our church experience with each other through worship and through edification. So please be in contact with other people. Take the initiative to be in contact. We will do it. You please try to do the same to communicate. As far as the preaching and teaching goes, our short-term plan is to attempt to have a Sunday morning online service, which would also include a physical CD to those that cannot be online. And we're going to try to plan on doing something like that on Sunday morning at about 10:30 in the morning. And so keep that in mind. And I will give you the exact instructions maybe a little bit closer to time on what you need to do. But for right now, probably connecting to the internet, going to our website, and being able to listen to and watch the video like our other videos are online at already currently. So that would be Sunday morning, probably a 10:30 service. Sunday evening, probably looking at a 6 o'clock service. Same thing. And then on Wednesday night, still tentative, but possibly a 7 o'clock prayer service. And not that we're going to pray all together. I might pray, but at least a time to catch up, update, and give you prayer requests that you can pray in your own home throughout the rest of the week. So these are just tentative. We'll get those final instructions to you exactly what you need to do, but just so that you're aware of what our plan is. Praise the Lord for the technology that He has given and for the help that God has provided me with being able to provide for this. Let's catch up a little bit on a few prayer requests, not a lot. Hopefully many, if not all of you, have gotten, whether it's through the email or a physical copy of our prayer sheet for this week. And so let us know if you have not. But you can look at all those things and see what needs to be prayed for. There's Art Wenger got out of the hospital. He's at home and he's doing well. We continue to pray for him. Others, I know Debbie Buckner is having some sort of procedure next week. We need to pray for the Buckners. We have, honestly, probably a mistake to start because there are many people that need certain things and have things going on. I'm just mentioning, check those prayer sheets because those things are there. Things we need to be praying for are missionaries. I know the Lopez's send us an update just saying that they're going through things as of most of the world is. But they certainly need prayer during this time as well. The Duartes have, I believe they made it to Brazil. Haven't heard from them, but they were supposed to have gotten out on Monday night, I believe. I think it was Monday night that they got out, and they should have been in Brazil on Tuesday. So I'll be praying for the Duartes as they adjust there, that God would bless. And I could probably go on and on about certain things that we could pray for. So let's keep these things in mind. I think right now what we're going to do is I'm going to take the time to just bow in order of prayer, and you can pray with me. I'm going to pray for just a couple of these things, and then we're going to jump into the Word and get started this morning. Not going to spend a long time, but I certainly want to spend some time in the Word this morning. So let's go ahead and bow our heads for a prayer and pray for a few of these things. Father, we certainly need you at this time. It's a time of crisis, and it's a time of not quite knowing how to react to everything. Lord, would you please give wisdom to each one of us as a church, as a pastor, would help me. Lord, help us to come together, pull together, to strive together for the faith of the gospel in a unique way that you've given to us right now. We need you. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the technology and all of that, that you would help that to run properly and smoothly, and even as we can improve on some things here in the near future, Lord, would you help us to be aware of those helps that we have available to us. God, I just pray that we can be a shining light and a testimony to our community during these days. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the people, be with the church, Lord, individually, the things that they're going through, Lord, the concerns that they have, the scares, the fears, the health situations, spiritual situations, maybe financial situations, emotional situations. God, I pray that you would help every person, Lord, go through this time, and I pray that you would do a perfect work in their lives that you choose to do. God, we need you. We need each other during this time. Lord, all those requests that are on our prayer sheet, Lord, would you please meet those needs? And we just are eager to see how you're going to work in the coming days. Lord, help us now as we get into the Word for a few moments. I pray that it would be productive and helpful and encouragement to all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can take your Bibles if you have those. I would encourage you to use your Bibles during this time. I know you're at home. I know it's a different environment, but I think the closer you can stay connected this way, open up your Bibles and follow along, take notes, whatever that you normally do, I think will be a blessing. So go ahead and take your Bibles and let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4, and today we're going to be in verses 7, 8, and 9. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7, 8, 9, we're continuing on with what we have been going through, and so we have been learning about other people in time past that have been going through difficult situations and how God prepared them to go through those times. Interesting that God has us going through 1 Peter right now and how we're supposed to respond to our authority and the things that they put in front of us. And we've learned a lot. We have more to learn, though. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. Before we read those, I want you to think just a little bit about an Olympian. I've never been an Olympian, and I don't think that I ever will be, but think through that. As a person training for the Olympics, they have maybe 4 years, maybe they have 8 years, maybe they have been training for a long time, but one thing that I know about an Olympian, if he's going to be an Olympian, he's going to have to be very, very dedicated and focused with what he's doing. In fact, those Olympians, at least those in training, they have made facilities for these individuals to go to, and from what I understand, in some cases even live at for periods of time to where they can be focused at what they're to do. You think about that, I think it makes sense. Focused from things that are going on in the world, things that are going on with their families, although I don't know about that. It seems like they need to stay connected that way. But the whole point is that they're focused away from certain things, and they're focused on two certain things. They're getting distractions out, and yet they're putting what is important to them in. And so these people in training, they go to these facilities. They have their personal trainers there. In some cases, they might have their doctors there. They might have their therapists there. They probably have their dietitians there. They've got all these people around them, guiding them and guarding them and what they ought to do, protecting their sleep, protecting their diet, protecting their workouts, protecting their probably in some cases their minds and their thoughts on getting focused to what is right and off of what is going to be a distraction. It's kind of what we're getting here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. I've entitled the message, although it seems to be a little bit strange, Lowering the Lid or Fanning the Flame. We'll kind of get to that application here in just a few moments. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Really quickly, I want to look over this passage and just kind of give you a synopsis of what it is. Maybe let's look at some key words to discover the truth to start off. He starts off, but the end of all things is at hand. What's the end of all things? He's not saying that the world and everything is going to end and we're going to fall off the face of the earth. What he's saying is that the end times, which you read about in the Bible, are getting close. The end times are at hand. It's drawing nearer. And you say, Pastor, it's been drawing near for 2,000 years. When is near? We don't know. But the Bible teaches that it is coming. And I would say it seems as though we're getting closer and closer and closer, and those times could be sooner than ever I anticipated any time, especially with all that's going on. But either way, it is getting closer. It's approaching. Maybe we could refer to like the rapture, an imminent time. We don't know, but we do know the time is coming. So the end of all things is coming. It's at hand. He goes on and says, be therefore sober and watch under prayer. The word sober is of a sound and clear mind. It's not under the influence of anything of the world that would hinder your godly living and your obedience to Christ. It's also being serious, seriously minded, just like I mentioned in the illustration about the Olympian. It's being serious about what God wants us to do. And he says, being serious in our minds, being focused and disciplined our minds unto prayer. You know, we can't pray and draw closer to the Lord, who is the one that we need during difficult times when there's so many distractions going on in our lives. I know for myself, when I've got lots going on, it's hard to pray. But yet, if we're going to have a vibrant relationship, fellowship with the Lord to help us through difficult times, we've got to have stability in our minds so that we can pray. So this passage says that we, as the end times are coming, we need to be sober. We need to have clear things out of our minds. We'll get to more application of that here in just a moment, so that we can pray. In verse 8, he goes on to say, and above all things. Now, that's not saying necessarily that this is the most important thing, but I think a little bit better would be foundational. As a foundational thing, so watch unto, or be fervent, have fervent charity. So be foundational. Above all things, have fervent charity. So foundationally, have fervent charity. Now, you understand the word charity is another name for love. Fervent is going all out for. In fact, the Greek word for our English word fervent is stretching out like that athlete, which is got all of his muscles tensed and stretched, and he's just going all out. You think of that when that athlete, you know, running the 100-meter dash is right there at the end. He's got everything. His body is stretched out. His muscles are tense. He is, there's not one distraction. There's not one thing even in his body that is working to prevent. No, it's all out. That's what fervent means. So it's love. It's deep love. It's intense love that is completely going out for that one thing. Foundationally, that's what our minds are supposed to be on. He says, have fervent charity, that intense love among yourselves. This is among other Christians. He goes on to say, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. The word cover is to hide or to veil. But I think more practically here in this passage is to overwhelm and shut down the sins, the struggles, maybe the strife that is going on. The love overwhelms that and closes it down, and it wins out in the end. He says for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And then in verse 9, he ends with, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Hospitality is generosity or friendliness to strangers. I think here, though, above the strangers, he says charity one to another, and that it uses the Greek word allelon, which is reciprocal among brothers. So it's calling us as brothers and sisters to be reciprocal with our hospitality to each other. If I could put it, this passage in my own words, I would say soon Christ is going to return, and we then should have a very focused and unobstructed mind to pray. As a foundation, the Christian should have a love for each other that goes all out. This love overwhelms and snuffs out the flames of sin and strife. The Christian must also show himself friendly and generous to his fellow brothers and sisters. And this must be done with a pure and sincere heart. That word grudging is to murmur, grumble, complain. Have you ever done something for somebody else, but yet inside you didn't want to? That's what he's saying. He said, no, this needs to be a sincere, pure heart. You ought to want to do this. He's your brother. She's your sister. That's what the passage really is saying. So in short, what is this? As we look at this, what are the things that we need to, okay, we discover what it says. Hopefully you understand the passage now. How can we obey this? What are we going to do? What can we keep at home here with us this week that we need to be looking to? And I think this is what God is really getting to us about in this passage. Number one, I think that God is calling us to have a disciplined mind. You know, it's easy in this world to be so unfocused or to have distractions in with what's going on right now. It's certainly a hard time to be focused on the Lord and what is right and raising our families and doing right and trusting Him. Wow, there's so much going on. You know, God is calling us to have the right thoughts. We need to be disciplined with our thoughts. And so I would encourage you to be careful on what you let your mind wander and think. You know, we need to be careful about what we're even being exposed to. I think you would all agree that when you're exposed to certain things, it has a tendency to affect our minds. We expose ourselves to, even right now, there's a lot of media going on. And I think you'd all be aware, boy, if you do too much, boy, you could become so scared and emotional about things. I think we need to be careful with what we think about. And with that, it's careful what we expose ourselves to, because these things shape our thoughts. Again, going back to that Olympian, he's got to be careful not to be thinking about other things so that he can give everything to that one goal. And that means we need to be careful with what kind of people that we're around. You know, the wrong friends will shape our thoughts. And God says you need to be disciplined in your thoughts. You know, we must be taking in the right information. We need to be so careful what information is coming into our minds and into our hearts, because that's going to affect our thoughts. The things that you read, the things that you look at, the entertainment that you watch, brothers and sisters, this is going to affect our minds and our thoughts. God says you need to be careful with that. We need to be careful with what we're exposing ourselves to and what we're focusing on. So I think God's calling us to have a disciplined mind through this passage. But what else? I think we look at the second thing, and I think that God is also calling us to go all out for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for Faith Bible Church. He wants you to go all out. He's saying, let's limit ourselves with the world and what's coming on there, and let's go all out for each other. He says to have fervent charity, go all out, reciprocal love that is demonstrated here. Each one of us needs to go all out for each other. I think we can do this through a couple ways that are suggested in the scriptures here. First of all, it's talked about concerning each other's faults and sins. There's no doubt that every one of us sins. Every one of us has faults. And sometimes we let that hinder our love for each other. Well, they've got this, and I don't get along with him, and she's got something different. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to overwhelm our love with love, overwhelm those faults, overwhelm that sin. What he's not saying is to overlook them and just pretend like nothing's there, we're going to sweep this sin under the rug. That is not what he's saying. What he's saying is that you need to calm it down so that love and right wins out. Let me give you an example for that. In fact, this comes to the title in which I gave you. You all know that when you put water on the stove, you put it on there and you turn it on high. You want to get it heated up, and it takes a little while, but it begins to heat up, and you start seeing bubbles come, and it doesn't take that long, and what happens? It begins to boil, and it begins to go crazy, and you know, you put something into it, maybe some noodles, you're cooking some pasta, and you put it into it, and what happens? Well, all that foam starts coming up, and you've got to do something quick, otherwise it's just going to just come out. One of the things that we can do is put a lid on it, and it helps with that. Now, I'm not a cook or anything, and so, you know, some of you would say, yeah, but it still keeps coming. You got to turn that. There's all kinds of things that you can do, but I think you understand the point that pot is going to boil over unless we do something with it. We put a lid on it, and it helps for that to go down. It helps to control it some. Well, I think this passage is teaching us this morning that with love, we put a lid on strife and sin and contention and difficulties and struggles that other people have that are different than you. And with love, we kind of overlook, but we overwhelm each other with God's love. that he's placed within us. That's hard. Sometimes people that are different, have different things about us, that are doing things wrong, we get bothered at them, we struggle, we say things to them, we want to tell them that they're wrong. You know, all that does is fan the flame. It makes the bubbles go more rapid. It makes the boiling get more intense. God's calling us not to fan the flame. He's calling us to put a lid on it, and the lid that he's given to us is love. He wants us to go all out for each other. That's what is said here. You've heard the verse in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 that says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. I don't know about you, but when I'm struggling with somebody and I'm in my flesh wanting to get back at them, when they look at me with a smile and have calm, soft words, it's really hard for me to continue to be angry and upset and want to get at them, because I'll tell you what it's doing. It's doing what 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 and 9 is telling us. It says that love overwhelms. It kind of snuffs it out. Love snuffs out that sin and that contention and that strife. And that's why God calls us to go all out. No, instead of think about me, I ought to think about him. I ought to think about her. I ought to show love and care for them. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, we follow God's word, and it will put and cut short a lot of the strife and contention that we go through. Focused mind on loving our brothers, loving our sisters. So, concerning each other's faults and sins, let's put the lid on that boiling pot. Let's get soft answers that turn away wrath. The end of the verse says, but grievous words stir up anger. Hey, you're going to add yourself into it. You're going to add your own selfish ambitions. It's going to only make things worse. This passage also talks about going all out concerning sincere and genuine hospitality. I mentioned hospitality, that's generosity and friendliness to strangers. Again, here, reciprocal brothers and sisters. You know, what are your brothers and sisters going through? That's love. A lot of times we think of ourselves. In fact, right now, through this virus and all that's going on, everybody, and we're being instructed to think about yourself. For your own safety, stay in. For your own safety, you need to be careful with what you're doing. And yes, they're saying for other people's safety as well. You know, that's what our mentality needs to be, is not so much of how am I being affected, but listen, they're going through difficult times too. Right now, people are shut up in their homes, and they're doing certain things, and they're not out as much, and they're not going to church. They're not going to, in some cases, work. They're not meeting as teams, or they're not getting out and to go into restaurants as much as they used to. And right now, people are almost focused and forced to think about themselves. But you know what? There are other people that are going through things right now that we need to be concerned about. What about that sick elderly person that we need to really be praying for? What about the fear that this other lady's going through? What about that other person? This passage is saying, you know what? We need to go all out for each other and help. Be hospitable. How can I help them? What can I do? Now is a wonderful time, Faith Bible Church, to be thinking about what we as a church or you as an individual can do for somebody else. People are struggling. People are limited. People don't know what to do about certain things. People maybe just are buggy and they need to talk to somebody. Let's think about other people than ourselves. What are we doing to serve our fellow brothers and sisters? God's calling us to consider others' needs more than ourselves. What is it during this difficult time that you could clear your mind of with all the other worldly distractions and instead go all out for somebody else? Right now, think about that. What could you do to, you're at home and you're scared. I would encourage you to harness all that anxiety to put it to what could you do for somebody else to help them go through what they're going through. Overcoming their faults and maybe their struggles with your love, your kindness, your generosity, your forgiveness, your not holding it to them, and reaching out to them to be a blessing while they're going through their struggles. What about our church, for our community? You know, there's a lot of churches that are out there today doing a lot of things, and you know, I say, you know, what could Faith Bible Church do? And honestly, I don't know. And by the way, if you have any suggestions, I don't know that if we'll do them, but if you'd let me know, what could we do? What could we do to reach out to our neighbors, our community, our friends, our relatives? What could we do to be a blessing? So many people right now are focused on themselves, and I think that God is calling us through 1 Peter chapter 4 to think about somebody else. What a wonderful opportunity. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? A wonderful opportunity. I'm going to say it again. What a wonderful opportunity God has placed before us as Christians right now to share His love with others. His care, His control, His love, His sacrifice. What a wonderful opportunity to be a testimony of God and His grace to us and to others right now. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. Very foundational. Very foundational for our church in a very trying time. Let's trust God to help us to discipline our mind, focus ourselves off of the world, onto each other, onto our brothers and sisters, and trust that God will bless. And I think that even now, you know, we're all scared that this is going to disrupt our church. We're scared that this is going to, it's going to keep us apart. Brothers and sisters, I'm praying that it can bring us together. I'm praying that we can get closer. I'm praying that it will give us opportunities in our community. I hope that you'll join me with that. It's been good this morning. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And then you'll be gone. I'll be gone. Enjoy your family. Take the opportunity to spend some good time with them. But let's focus on the word. Looking forward to getting back together again this evening as we'll look at another passage in Step with Jesus and another applicable thing that Jesus instructs His disciples in what they were going through during that time. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. And please be in contact with us how we can be a blessing and help. Father, I thank You so much for the time that we've been able to spend this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd bless Your day today, and I pray that You'd just be with people. You would help them, Lord. I pray more than ever we'd have a focused and dedicated mind that is not going crazy, wandering around, but focused on the truth, Lord, but also that's focused on Your way of doing things. And through this passage, we see that Your way is reaching out to other people. God, help us to reach out and to show godly love to them, overlooking their struggles, quenching out the strife and contention and differences and difficulties with true, genuine, sincere love that wants to. Lord, that it would be a blessing to each other, God, through difficult times. Lord, I thank You for this opportunity to look at Your good word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.